being here again tonight, and I want to welcome y'all. As it's been a busy week, and I know a lot of folks are tired, and I'm excited for the opportunity for us to wrap it up tonight. But I'm so thankful tonight to be able to just share in the partnership of assembling the Word of God, and that's a big part of this. This endeavor, as I mentioned the other night, to assemble the Word of God, to get the Word of God where it needs to go on time, is something that one church cannot do on its own. It's been a tremendous privilege this week just to have all of our friends coming around from all over, literally the world. Doug and Bethany came in. I forgot to acknowledge them, so forgive me, brother, on Thursday night. But Doug and Bethany are here from India. God brought them all the way from India so they could be a part of what we're doing here. So we praise God for that. Yeah. We love you guys, and we're thankful for that. And as you know, throughout the week, we've had churches, local churches here in our community. Of course, our sister churches in LFF. I saw Pastor Sam Miles is here somewhere, and he's over here. And we appreciate you. Now, you guys have just constantly sent people through. We appreciate the support we've gotten from you and Lee Summit. And we had Grace and Truth in today. And Iola was up from Harvest Iola. There's probably been a few from. I'll have to talk to Alan. I don't know how many Harvest folks were here. We need to start having a competition to get everybody in here. That'll be helpful. But we really appreciate all the help that has come in. I know we had people from Antioch here, Christian schools, et cetera, et cetera. We have businesses. Beyond Wealth from Lee Summit was in here this week. And it goes on and on and on. It's just been really, really good because we're still not done. Bob will give us all the numbers toward the end, but there's a lot of work yet to get done. So we really appreciate the partnership, because if it was left to just a little less in the cow field, it'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it, Bob? So we're glad for partnerships. And one of those partnerships that we have, of course, is with Dr. Pepper, right? Dr. Mike Pepper. When I grow up, I want to be like Dr. Pepper, 80-plus years old. That video was taken from Sierra Leone, and he travels there and is still on the ground there. He initially seeded that country through Bearing Precious Seed with Bibles for the military and the police forces and all of those folks while he began his ministry and church planting endeavors there. And he really realized that, there was really a dearth in the local churches. And that's one of the reasons we've responded to try to help with New Testaments and whole Bibles, because even though he gave out a tremendous amount initially, those went to people that aren't pastors. And now he's going back around and trying to get the Word of God in the hands of the people in the local New Testament churches. And even though we're sending 60,000 New Testaments, we sent 5,000 whole Bibles. That's still just a drop in the bucket for what they need. That's a Muslim country that God has opened the door to that we can have an impact in directly. It's an amazing thing. And God brought him here, squeezed him into a vision conference many years ago. He wasn't planned. He just happened to be in town. I got a call, said, hey, could you slip him in? And he came up here and just told us straight up, like, not a lot of places in the world where there's revival going on, but this is one of them. And we can't keep up. So if you want to get in on a revival, come join us. And I never forgot that, because he's absolutely right. It's a Muslim country. It's been kind of the armpit of Africa for many years. And it's been a very, you guys have probably seen and heard the stories, watched the movies, all of the things that have gone on there, the Ebola virus and so on and so forth. It's just been a really difficult situation, not to mention civil war. And out of all of that, God has tilled the soils of the heart, and the Muslims are saying, please come bring the Bible, right? Come bring Jesus, because this Islam isn't working for us. And so it's a great opportunity. It's a great open door and effectual. And as doors are open, you just never know how long they're open. So you got to seize the opportunity and do what you can while you can. And I'm so thankful tonight that some of our just really key partners this year, in addition to MCBC, who we talked about earlier this week, who sent 3 mission trips here to help us assemble those 60,000 New Testaments, Pastor Brad Nelson and Mike Shore from Grace Baptist have really helped lift up the load and carry it with us to get this project done. So we really appreciate you, not just physically, but financially. And so I'm super thankful to God for them. And so what I want to do tonight is just thank them as our partners. for being a part of this project. And thank you so much. I mean, it really means a lot. Because just like MCBC, between you guys and MCBC, I don't know the percentage, probably 20%+, maybe more. I mean, maybe probably more than that, actually, if I did the math right. So I didn't do that before I got up here. So anyway, let me do quick math. So yeah, it's a lot. So a large percentage of the project, is accomplished by our partners in ministry. And that's the cool thing about Bible publishing, because Bible publishing is a ministry that you can't do just with one local church. You really gotta have Philadelphian relationships. And relationships, as we all know, that is the key to ministry, right? Ministry rides on the rails of relationships, follows on the hill, and fellowship follows on the heels of ministry. So it's so important that we recognize the partnerships that God's provided and the unity that God has given us around the Word of God. The last few days, we have seen up here behind me, we had that incredible display that Jim Alter brought up here, and he did such an eloquent job of talking about delivering us the purified word. But at the end of the day, man, that book was delivered to us through blood, sweat, and tears. And all God is asking us to do is burn a little bit of energy, burn some time and money, and get it where it needs to go, right, on time. And it's so good to have partners that will join in that and have that Philadelphian experience, even in the Laodicean church age. And so one of the key pieces to that is transportation. And I met Mike Shore and Liz Shore several years ago at a PTSD conference. That's the first time I met you guys, with Doug Carriger. And that was before you guys were called to this ministry. And so as God would have it, that was providential. And as time has gone on, we've become fast friends. And I remember meeting with you guys, talking about this as it was in its inception. It was a wonderful thing. And it's been wonderful to see what God is doing with Seeds of Grace transportation ministry, and that the great benefit that it is to us as a ministry. So I want to invite Mike Shore to come up and just share with you what God is doing in his ministry, and give him some love as he comes. Yeah. As Mike is coming and to share about Seeds of Grace, we'll have, after he's done, there'll be a special, and then Pastor Brad Nelson's going to come and preach to us. So I thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, brother. Okay, as he introduced us, I'm Mike, and this is my wife, Liz. We have five kids, and we're missionaries, transport missionaries. So just to briefly bring you up to speed on where we're at, since going full-time 4 years ago, we have, through Bearing Precious Seed and many other ministries, have supplied over 51 million pieces of scripture into Mexico through Joe Hendricksman and other missionaries down there. So praise the Lord for that. We couldn't do that without churches like you guys. The material has to be put together, and so we're thankful for that. I don't want to talk a whole lot about my ministry because it's not about us. It's about what we've done this week and what you guys have done, more importantly. So what I actually want to talk about is that Philadelphian relationship that Pastor was alluding to in Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, he that shutteth and no man openeth. And I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word this evening, Lord. We thank you so much for the opportunity to lay our hands on your word. We don't take that lightly, Lord. We just pray for the souls that will receive it. I pray that you just be with me over this next few moments and be with my thoughts and my words as we share the importance of publishing your word. In Christ's name, amen. So the Church of Philadelphia was not commended for its size or its earthly strength, but it was for its faithfulness to God's word and the name of Christ. The Lord himself promised them an open door of opportunity that no man could shut. This Philadelphian spirit has echoed throughout the ages, especially in the way the Word of God has been preserved, printed, and proclaimed. Bible publishing is one of the clearest expressions of this open door, from the Gutenberg press to modern translations and digital formats, as he spoke about in Sierra Leone. Those people have phones now, so that digital format is important as well. God has kept his word alive and available, often in spirit, in spite of opposition. This printing and distribution of Scripture is not just a mechanical task. There are ministries that extend the open door of the gospel into every home, nation, and heart. The local church is the living steward of this word. While Bible publishers place the Scriptures into our hands, the church proclaims, teaches, and lives them out before the world. Together, Bible publishing and the church form of Philadelphia in partnership, one provides the seed, the other plants, and others watered into the lives of lost souls. When the church receives God's word faithfully, Bible publishers provide it diligently, the open door remains wide. This relationship is more than practical. It is spiritual. It embodies obedience to Christ's command. Mark 16:15 says, Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A couple of questions as we wrap the week up we should be asking ourselves is, do I treasure the word of God as believers in Philadelphia did? Am I using that open door God has placed before me, sharing Scripture, supporting its distribution, and living it out before others? What's our testimony? And finally, how can my church deepen its partnership with Bible publishing and distribution so that God's word continues to run swiftly? That comes with not just with your time, your talent, and especially your treasure. I talked about this today at the lunch. The cost of a Bible is now around $3.50, upwards of $4 a copy, including transportation. When we started this some 20 years ago, it was $1.25. So time, talent is important, but treasures are needed as well to continue this ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for keeping your word before us through the faithfulness of publishers, translators, and churches. Help us to live in the Philadelphian spirit, holding fast to your word, honoring your name, and walking through the open doors you set before us. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Well, you know, it's amazing to think how we have been, no, leave that there. We have been able to partner with so many people across the world, not just in our state, but how many people are waiting for what we're doing here. I've got like 7 Bibles in my house, and I know some people don't even have one for their whole family. You know, and wow, what a treasure we have got right here. Do you want to be right or left? We're going to sing a special. This is going to be more like a prayer over what we've done. You know, what's going to happen. So you might know this song, the words. Feel free to sing along with us if you want to. But I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. His name is power. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
You know why? Because His name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus,
there's power in that name, protection and power.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
I won't take too long. I just wanted to give a proper introduction to Pastor Brad Nelson, the Grace Baptist Church in Lee Summit. So he is the pastor of Mike Shore. I don't want to get that backwards. So I, not that there's anything wrong with Mike and Liz, but Pastor Brad has been a great friend of mine. We've known each other since the early days and we went in our 20s. Just found out he has a relative that's a mutual friend of mine. We're just talking at dinner and it's just a small world. But I'm thankful to have not just partnerships in ministry, but friendships in ministry, and it's important. And so, brother, I just wanted to make sure you get a proper introduction because we do love you. We appreciate you. Come on up and preach to us tonight, brother.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man. All right. Well, how are you tonight? Doing pretty good? I was about to say, man, you got to introduce me better than that. Come on now. Nah, for sure. It's good to see you guys again. We've had a few opportunities to be here, whether it was speaking here at church during a conference or maybe at a marriage seminar or something like that. So it's good to see some faces that are familiar and some old friends. Doug, how are you, brother? Man, it's been a minute. Yeah, we haven't seen each other. I was in Jersey, I think, when we saw each other last. Man, it's good to see you. I see Brother Sam back there. How are you, brother? Good to see you, man. It's good. Yeah, it's been a long time, man. I was just sitting there trying to do that math in my head. How long have we known each other? It's been 35 years, probably, something like that. All that means is we're old, man. That's all that means. That's all that means. The hair's a little grayer or less of it. Pants are a little tighter. All that kind of stuff, right? But it's good to be here. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thanks for having the Shores as well. I know Mike didn't share much about the ministry that God has founded under him and Liz, but man, they're the best. They're a blessing. They're doing it right. They have pushed everything into the middle of the table and said, hey, we want to serve the Lord and we're going to do this and by faith. And so if you don't know them, get to know them and listen to their testimony about what God did in their life to bring them to the point where they followed the Lord and were obedient to his calling in their life. It's a great story. We're also appreciative to partner with you in the things that God has given us the chance to do together, the scriptures into Sierra Leone. It was a blessing for us to be a part of that. And so we appreciate the thanks, but just know that we're thanking you just for thinking of us because we take this seriously like so many other churches do, and we want to do our part to publish and collate and put together scriptures and then ship them around the world and see what God does through that. And so we're just thankful to be a part of that. And so we appreciate you guys partnering with us as well. I want to review the text that's the theme verse for the conference. I'm sure you've heard this many times through this conference over the last few days. But let's just read this together again in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And then we'll pray and then we'll get into some things tonight. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Let's pray. Father, we do pause in this moment just to give you thanks and praise. You alone are worthy of all honor, glory, power, and praise. Lord, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have through him. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be part of your family and to be involved in your work and ministry here in this earth. Lord, we long for that day when we get to see you face to face. But Lord, until that time comes, we pray that you would give us the strength that we need to carry on and to do a work for you in these last days. Father, I pray as we open your word together tonight that you would move, that your spirit would have free course in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, our flesh is tired. This group has been working hard for the last several days. But Lord, I pray that your spirit would overcome the fatigue in our flesh and that he would speak to us, maybe like he's never spoken before. Move mightily in our midst and bring honor and glory to your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my understanding that you've had a lot of great teaching over the last several days and unpacking this particular passage of scripture. And I'm sure I won't bring anything that you haven't heard. I just want to kind of walk through this real quick this evening and make a few comments, because this passage obviously teaches us about the purity of God's word, doesn't it? He tells us here that the words of the Lord are pure words. What we have in our laps, many of us tonight, are the very words of God, and those words are pure words. They're not corrupted words. They're not impure words. They're not some of the words of God. We have the very word of God. The word of God is perfect in its source. The word of God is perfect in its source in that the word of God was given by inspiration of God. He tells us in the famous passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word, as I'm sure you know, inspiration means that it is God-breathed. God breathed His words and spake unto holy men who were moved by the Spirit of God to pen and record what He wanted us to have. Now think about that process. It reminds me a little bit of what we read at the end of Scripture in Revelation chapter 22 when we see a pure river of water flowing and being ushered from the very throne of God. And that's what Scripture is. It's the pure water of God's Word flowing from a holy and pure God down to us. The Spirit of God moved in these holy men of God, and they spake as God instructed them to. It's perfect in its source. But not only that, it's preserved for every generation. What an incredible truth. Not only did God speak in the originals, but He has preserved what He inspired down through the ages to every generation. In fact, that's the promise of verse 7, isn't it? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them, thy words, from this generation forever. Man, you can take that thing to the bank. God said that. He said, I'm gonna preserve the things that I said, and you're gonna have them. You're gonna have them and have access to them. You know, human words fade. God's word endures. He has not only given us a perfect source of His Word. He's inspired it. He's preserved it for every generation. And God has also provided it for all people, or at least that's His intention, to provide it for all people. The Word of the Lord has been translated into a language that you and I can understand. That's incredible. He inspired it. He preserved it. And He's given it to us in a language that we can read and understand. What an incredible God we serve. I came across some statistics from the Wycliffe Bible translators, and they say 1 in 5 people in the world still are waiting to have a Bible in their language. That's incredible, isn't it? You see, we have so many copies. I think somebody referred to that a moment ago, that we begin to take the Word of God for granted. Because we have it in such abundance. In my office, there's no less than probably 2 dozen Bibles just laying around. It's like having treasure just laying around in my office, man. A lot of people don't have that. I remember one moment in my life when I was early in my Christian life. This was probably early 90s. So it's been a minute. And I was in Brazil on a mission trip, and I was a young guy and took a team up into a town in the mountains of Brazil called Teresopolis. And went up there and I was getting ready to preach in this church, and it was packed, man. It was a huge church and there were a lot of people there, and I didn't have a lot of experience in ministry because I was nervous. I was really nervous. And I remember I'm sitting there trying to get my stuff together right, figure out my notes and all that stuff, and I had my Bible there and I just kind of laid it on the floor as I'm trying to shuffle my stuff around. All of a sudden, I felt a little tap on the shoulder. The little old Brazilian lady behind me with my Bible in her hand. We don't put this on the floor. I was like, yes, ma'am. You see, she had an appreciation that I needed to get. She had an awe of God's Word. There's still so much work to be done. Of the nearly 7,400 languages in the world, almost 3,400 of those languages still have no scripture. There's work to do. And it would be incredibly selfish of us as English-speaking Americans to think, well, I got mine, you guys figure it out. No, somebody went through and paid a price so that you and I could have the Word of God in a language that we can understand, and it is our obligation to make sure that the other peoples of the world have a copy of God's Word in a language that they can understand. Our mission and desire should be to see all the peoples of the world have a copy of God's Word in a language that they can read and study and understand. That should be one of our objectives. One of the things that we decide to do individually and collectively as a group. God wants to provide that for all people. But this Word, not only has it been perfected because it comes from a perfect God, preserved for every generation, provided for all people, but it's been proven by time and opposition. The Word of God has been proven. It has been tried. It has been purified. Purified. He says it's been purified 7 times, like silver that's put into a vessel of earth and subjected to the fire. The Word of God is pure because the God who gave it to us is pure. And He's given us these pure words. And David, if you read that entire psalm, the first part of Psalm chapter 12, he's talking about how the word of man is not pure. It's corrupted. It can't be trusted. And then he shifts gears and he says, but the word of God is pure. It's pure. It's 7 times pure, symbolic of the fact that it's perfect and it's complete. It's absolutely flawless. But throughout history, mankind has tried to destroy it and discredit it. And they haven't been successful. In fact, one of my favorite stories is about a guy named Voltaire, who was an atheist philosopher. And in 1776, he said this, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. Oof. That's one of those statements where everybody around him should go, just step away, waiting for that lightning bolt to fall. But he's like, man, I'm going to make it my mission to destroy God's Word. And nobody's even going to be reading those after I'm done. Only place you'll find them is in a museum somewhere if you want to look it up. Here's the funny thing. Within 50 years after his death, the very house in which he once lived and wrote was used by the Evangelical Society of Geneva as a storehouse for Bibles and gospel tracts. And the printing press that was used to print his irreverent works is now used to print Bibles. That's funny. That's really funny. God has a tremendous sense of humor. He said, oh yeah, Voltaire, watch this. But he's just one man that's tried to destroy and discredit the Word of God. History is filled with people who have attacked the Word of God, who have tried to destroy the Word of God and discredit the Word of God. And yet here we sit, and it stays true. It is pure. Now we understand who's at the center of that opposition. It's not Voltaire, really. It's not any other atheist or philosopher who tries to tear down the Word of God. The one who is attacking the Word of God is none other than our adversary, the devil. In fact, Paul gives us this insight in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And the tactic that's mentioned here traces all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, doesn't it? His tactics haven't changed. He shows up in the garden, has a conversation with Eve, who's a type of the church, and his tactic there is to bring doubt and discredit the very Word of God. And he's doing the same thing today. In fact, look what Paul says in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. You're engaged to Jesus Christ. that I may present you as a chaste virgin. You know what that word chaste means? It means pure. That I may present you as a chaste or pure virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted, that's his goal, corruption, from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so we don't have to guess what our enemy's tactic is. Paul tells us. He says, my desire, church, is to be able to present you someday as the steward of this dispensation, as a chaste or pure virgin before Christ. Church, I want you to be pure. But I'm fearful because just like the serpent beguiled Eve in his subtlety, your mind has been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And can I tell you, he's succeeding in his efforts to corrupt the minds of believers in Christ, because he has been succeeding in taking the very words of God out of their hand through corruption. And so we have to understand that God's desire for us is to have a trust in the Word of God, the very pure words of God, and have it impact our lives and make us pure. God's Word is not only true, it is trustworthy. The world is filled with polluted promises, but God's Word stands as pure silver. We can trust it. It is an anchor for our souls. It is our foundation that we live by. We have that. Rejoice in that. Celebrate that. But as we do that, we have to stop and ask ourselves a question. Why has God done that? Why has God gone through the effort of inspiring His Word, of preserving His Word, of translating His Word, and purifying His Word so that we can have a trustworthy and true, pure Word of God? Why did He do that? Well, I think God does that so that you and I can be pure, like we just read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. A lot of times, especially people who believe the King James Bible, we hold it up in reverence. We argue for it. We cling to it. And I think sometimes we think it's just enough to have it. But we're not as diligent and good at living it as we ought to be. You know what it's like? It's like my bottle of water. You probably can't see the front of that, but it says purified. Sam, some dude named Sam, purified, not my. He purified this water for me. And I'm thirsty, my mouth's dry. That didn't help. But sometimes that's the way we are with the Word of God. I got a big black one. And a man, it's got lots of notes in there. And we think just having it and believing it is enough to make me pure. It's not. Dude, you got to live it. You got to take what it says and put it to practice in your life. Don't stop a step short. Man, you got to open the bottle and take a drink. You got to let it get inside of you. You got to let it start to change you and purify you. That's why God gives us the Bible. It's not so it can sit on your coffee table or in your car. I was just talking to a lady this week. I had a phone call with a lady in our church, and she was giving me a little bit of her testimony. She needed some counsel on a situation in her life. And she said, man, I grew up in church. She grew up in a fundamental Baptist church in the Kansas City area. And she said, "Mom, we were in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night. My mom had us in church all the time." And she said, "We never took our Bibles out of the car. They just leave them in the car till next time they went to church. They were religious, but they weren't righteous. They weren't pure because the Word of God wasn't getting inside of them." And so God has given you and me the Word of God to purify us. We have a pure Word of God, but we as God's people must be pure as well. You see, the reason God has given us a pure word, the reason God desires for us as believers in Christ to take a pure word and distribute it around the world is so that other followers in Christ can be pure. As, like we're trying to be pure. As our Savior is pure. In fact, one of the things that God's Word does is it reveals a pure Savior. People need the Word of God because the Word of God reveals to them a pure Savior. Look with me, if you would, in Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. You know, only pure things in heaven. Only pure things in heaven. You think about that? Only pure things in heaven. Look what he says. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Uh-oh. I don't know about you. I'm not pure. You? Man, I'm a sinner. I got saved when I was 20. And I was in college, and I was fully invested in things that lost college people do. I had a lifestyle that I'm ashamed of. I was not pure. And there was no hope of me being pure. That which is impure cannot hope to be made pure. That's not, we don't get into heaven by cleaning up our act. Man, I got some work to do. Now you need to stop working. Because your repentance needs repenting of. I mean, we're dirty. But Jesus was and is pure. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He never sinned. Not one time. The dude was a carpenter. You know he smacked his thumb. You know he did. And yet, he stayed pure. He never sinned. Not one time. "In all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so you and I don't get into heaven where only pure things are by our own purity. We get into heaven through the purity of Jesus Christ. We get His imputed righteousness, His imputed purity. We are in Christ, and therefore we are considered pure because He is pure. People need to understand this. People need to know that Jesus Christ is a great high priest that is touched with the feeling of their infirmities, who was perfect, not worthy of death, And yet he died for them in their place, so that if they'll trust in him, they can be saved. We call this the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and we see the gospel, death, burial, resurrection. There's a little phrase in there that's used a couple times, though. Does anybody know what it is? Starts with according. According to the Scriptures. You see, it's the Scriptures that even enable us to show someone the good news. People need the Word of God so that they can be saved. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Man, I love that. That's one of my favorite phrases in Scripture. Superfluity of naughtiness. Man, we got to bring that thing back right there. You got to start breaking out some superfluity. Yeah, throw that around at work on Monday. People like, superfluity? Now you gotta, you better know what it means before you start throwing it around. He says, hey, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Look at the last part. Which is able to save your souls. The word of God is active in our salvation. It's the book that we go to show people the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ so that they can believe in Jesus and be saved from their sin, so that they can be rescued from their impurity, trusting in a pure Savior and have the hope of heaven in their life. The great purpose of the Spirit of God is to use the Word of God to bring us to the Son of God who imparts to us the salvation of God. God desires His Word to be used so that people can be introduced to a pure Savior. Not only that, not only does He use it to reveal a pure Savior, He uses it to cleanse a pure people. The Word of God is likened to water. And there's so many passages that we could go to in God's Word. John 15 and verse 3, Jesus says, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. God's Word not only saves us, it scrubs us. It cleanses us. We need it to stay clean and right with God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, he says that you might sanctify and cleanse it. He's talking about the church with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's desire for the church is that we would be a chaste virgin, a pure virgin, that we would have no spot, no wrinkle, that we would be holy, that we would be without blemish. God's church needs to be pure. It needs to be clean. And the only way that we can be cleansed is by the washing of water by the Word. We need the Word of God to keep us clean. Not only does it cleanse us by washing us, it shapes pure minds for pure living. If you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Ultimately, the way you live flows from the way you think. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 teaches us this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if I have a particular action or attitude in my life that is not godly, that is sinful, something that I'd rather not have be there, I can trace that action or attitude back to a way of thinking, a faulty way of thinking. And so that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we need to renew the spirit of our mind. That's why in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 he tells us to be renewed in our way of thinking, in our mind. Why? Because there's an expectation that now you're a believer in Christ, your conduct needs to be different. There needs to be a change in lifestyle. If you blend in with everybody around you, time to do some soul searching. You ought to be different. You ought to be unique. You ought to be peculiar to people. And that's not necessarily in the way your hair is cut or the way you dress. But the world ought to be able to look at the way we live and say, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your, look at it, pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Paul says, listen, or Peter says, I've got a purpose in writing. I wrote my second epistle, this second letter to you because I wanted to stir up your pure mind. I wanted to shake things up. I wanted to cause you to remember some things that you need to remember. He says, I want you to think about even those things that were written before by the holy prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament there. And the things that the rest of the apostles wrote. Because he understands that it's the Word of God, the very pure words of God, that cause our minds to become pure. There's a cleansing and a washing that takes place. It changes the way we think. I don't know about you guys. Man, I got issue with stinking thinking all the time. I'm glad there's not cameras around in my house sometimes. Because, man, I get in arguments with myself. Brad, stop it. Stop thinking that. I'll plead the blood, man. I'm like, that's not right. Stop it. Stop thinking that way. I need my thoughts cleansed. I need to be purified. And the only way that my mind, my pure mind can be stirred up is by remembering the pure words of Scripture. There's an expectation of us to live a particular way. But that has to start with changing the way we think. Your thoughts, your thought life needs to line up with the mind of Christ. You need to think about things the way God thinks about things. Why else does he have this? How else does it cleanse us as his people? It washes us. It helps shape our pure minds for pure living. It also imparts to us wisdom from above. James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This book contains pure wisdom from above. Man, I need that. Life's tough. You agree with that? And life is filled with difficult situations, isn't it? And tough decisions. Things when we need God's insight and perspective and wisdom. And so God has given us this pure word to provide us with the pure wisdom that we need. Life works best when it's lived according to God's principles and purposes, according to His Word. It breaks my heart. It really does. As a pastor, and just as a person, when I see people who are settling for less than what God could do in their life. When people's life has gone off the rails, and it's tragic. It's a train wreck. All because they've walked away from the pure wisdom of God's Word. They're living after their own devices, after the counsel of man's wisdom, and not after the pure wisdom of God's Word, and their life is a wreck. And yet, if we can come back to the Word of God can get our life back on track. It can help put our life back together. How many of you, by show of hands this evening, would say, the Word of God helped me put my life back together? Look around the room. People around the world need that same experience. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to live. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't know how to love their spouse. They don't know how to raise their kids. They don't know what God wants them to do in their employment place. They have no idea what God's Word says about how we're to be pure and live a particular way and forsake sin and get victory. They have no idea because they don't have God's Word. They're doing the best they can, but they're struggling. God's Word, His pure Word, imparts wisdom from above. One last thought here this evening. We're almost done. Bear with me. God's pure Word is meant to purify us as His children by reminding me of His return, which keeps me pure. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Man, aren't you longing for that day? Really? Like two people over here? Come on, I know you're tired, but good grief. Give me a break, man. If it's a Chiefs game and they finally score a touchdown, you'd be cheering louder than that. Huh? Come on now. He's coming back. And you're going to get a new body. Man, I could use one of those. You're going to be like Him. You're going to see Him as He is. Man, I long for that day. And He tells us, man, it could be at any moment. Any moment. Could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Might be a year from now. But notice what He says. Look at the next thing He says. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope, what hope? The hope of His return. In Him, every man that hath this hope in Him, what's he do? Purifieth himself even as He, Jesus, is pure. The fact that He's coming back and that return could be at any moment should cause us to live life in a pure manner. To purify ourselves just like Jesus is pure. To be like Him, to live like Him, to think like Him, to talk like Him, to have His same desires in life. And yet let's be honest, brothers and sisters in Christ, so often in life we fall into the habit of thinking, oh yeah, they've been talking about the fact that He's going to come back since He left the first time. Where's the promise of His coming? And we get lazy. And we get comfortable. And we let things slide in our life. And we allow impure things to creep into our life. And the longer that those impure things are in our life, the more likelihood they have to corrupt the other areas of your life. I was just talking this past week at our church back in Lee Summit about fruit, bad apples. You ever have a bag of apples? It's apple season, right? And you get one rotten apple in that bag. What happens to the rest of the apples? Yeah, they get rotten. Right? The phrase we use. A bad apple ruins the whole bunch. You know, that's actually true. They put off a gas that causes the other fruit to ripen more quickly and rot quickly. There's bacteria that's springing off that rotten apple and getting onto the other apples and causing them to rot and mature more quickly. And the same thing happens in our life. We let that impure thing into our life because there's no concern for the return of Christ and purifying ourselves as He is pure. And we let that thing into our life and it sits there and it sits there and it sits there. But it doesn't stay contained. It starts to seep into the other areas of your life. You make these little decisions of compromise in your life. You let that impurity into your life and it starts to impact every area of your life. And what John is saying here is, listen, He's coming back. And you're going to be changed into His likeness. And you're going to see Him as He is. You're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to Him for how you conducted yourself in this life. How you served Him with your time. How you stewarded your money. How you used the resources at your disposal. How you laid it on the altar for Him. You will give an account to God for that. He says you better purify yourself. You better get clean. You better let the purifying water of God's Word wash over you. Change the way you think. Change the way you act. Change the way you go about life. Change the things that you invest yourself in. Change your commitment to Christ. Now listen, man, I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here, so to speak. You're here on a Saturday night. Good grief. But even in this room, I think even the most passionate follower of Christ, if I said, hey, who wants to up their game and take their relationship with Christ to a new level? Those who are the most committed would go, man, I gotta do more. Time is short. He is coming back. He says, purify yourself even as He is pure. God's pure word makes God's people pure. That's why He gave it to you. That's why you have the pure word of God. It's to make you pure. Like He is pure. Now, we need that in our life. And I'm going to challenge you in two ways tonight as we finish. You need to let the pure water of God's Word pour into you. You need to allow God's pure Word into your heart, into your mind, into your life. Let it begin to cleanse you and change you. How do I do that, Brad? Should I sleep with it under my pillow? No, you gotta just pour it in. Sitting under the preaching of God's Word from the man of God. Being in church, making it a priority. Being instructed. Being discipled. Going through the discipleship process, letting somebody who's had God's Word poured into them pour into you. Be in church. Read it. Commit to it. Read God's Word every single day. How many of you showered today? If you didn't, don't raise your hand. Woo! Yeah, I used to see somebody in the back going, yeah, they didn't. Why'd you do that? To get clean, right? Because you know, if I don't cleanse myself, I'm going to smell. But do we take the same care when it comes to washing ourselves with the Word of God? Do we cleanse ourselves with the Word of God? Reading it. Studying it. Here's a big one. This is a big one, especially as it comes to changing that mind. Meditate on it. Think about it. Let it preoccupy your thought life. Memorize it. Ooh, wait, you've gone too far. I'm so bad at memorizing things. What's your address? You know your address? Some of you are like, GPS has made us stupid, man. How many of you know your phone number?
Star 1.
So you can memorize stuff. I bet that 80s pop song that you used to love, you still know the lyrics to that, don't you? You hear that first note and you can name that tune in one note. You got it. You know what? You memorize the things that you love. So if I say I love God and I love God's Word, I better be hiding God's Word in my heart. I got to be putting it into my life, letting it wash over me, letting it purify me so that I can be pure as He is impure, that He is pure. That's my first challenge to you. Take your relationship with God's Word to another level. Let it get into your life and purify you. But the second part of our challenge tonight is you need to be involved in pouring the pure water of God's Word into the life of another person. That's why you're here. You're not here to be a perpetual spiritual baby, showing up in here with your mouth open so Pastor Brian can feed you every week. Now, he's a nice guy. He'll do that for you. But you've been saved 20 years, it looks kind of weird. Like if I went, my mom's still alive, if I went and climbed up in my mom's mouth and said, hey, mommy, can you feed me? You would look at me weirdly. And rightfully, you should run away from a person if they do that. That's weird, man. And yet that's the spiritual way of life for a lot of people. Come on, Daddy Brian, please feed me this morning. Now, there's a time and a place for that. We need others to pour into us to feed us, but we ought to be growing and maturing so we can become a self-feeder and we can be cleansed with the Word and then we can pour that into somebody else's life. We go from being discipled to discipling. We get involved in ministry. We start serving the Lord in ministry and pouring into the lives of other people. Babies in the nursery, little children in Sunday school, teens, young adults, music, audio, visual, Bible ministry, whatever. Wherever God leads you, you start ministering. You start pouring the Word of God into the life of another individual. That's when you really start to accelerate your growth, is when you start pouring the Word of God into somebody else. And part of that involves what you're doing this weekend, putting the Word of God together, giving of your time and energy and emotion and finances to make sure that God's Word can go into the hands of somebody else. It's not a selfish pursuit. So much of the Christian life is based in consumerism. What are you going to do for me? Because we live in a consumeristic society. Feed me, feed me, feed me. What do you got for me? And yet God wants us to turn that and flip it the other way. How can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I pour into somebody else? How can I let God use me for His honor and glory by pouring into someone else? My previous house, we had a big fountain, like a three-tiered fountain, almost as tall as I am. Big fountain. And that thing was fascinating to me. I'm a simple guy, I know. But I used to love to watch that thing. Because the water would come in, it would run up to the top, it would shoot out the top, it would pour down the sides, and it would fill up that first bowl on the first tier. And when that bowl got full, it would spill over into the next tier. And when that bowl got full, it would spill over into the base, and it would get full. And I would always look at that and I would think, you know what? That's life right there. It's about filling up, pouring the water into your life, not so that I can have it just for me, but so that I can pour it into the life of somebody else. So that I can take what's been poured into me and I can pour it into another life. And see, when I do that, that creates more space in my life for God to pour into me. And then I pour it into somebody else. See, this Christian life thing's not all that complicated, man. It's just a matter of being obedient to what God's asking you to do. Let the Word of God pour into you because it's the pure Word of God. And then take that pure Word and pour it into the life of somebody else. Be obedient to how God is asking you to do that. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we finish tonight? Father, we love you and we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you would help us to be so appreciative of your word. You're such a kind and gracious and loving God, and you have given us your word in a book that we can read and understand. And we're thankful for that. But Lord, we don't want our appreciation to turn into complacency. We want to take what's been given to us and pour it into the life of somebody else. Maybe that's someone here in Harrisonville. Maybe that's someone in our neighborhood. Maybe that's someone under the ministry of this church. Maybe that involves putting scripture in the hands of someone who will never meet this side of eternity. But Lord, I pray we'd be obedient and that we would pour that pure water of God's word into the life of another person, another people. Lord, you have given us this responsibility. You are a pure God and you've given us a pure word because you desire for us to be a pure people. Lord, we long for your return. And we ask that you would help us to be mindful of your return so that we could purify ourselves even as you are pure. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for the work you've done this week in this conference. We lift our prayers to you and ask your continued blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a good word. And appreciate that. So the word is to you. It should be going through you. And by God's grace, it's going into others. And praise the Lord for the salvation and the glorification and the middle part, the sanctification. That was a good sanctifying message. And I was encouraged. Brother, thank you for bringing the word. If you're here tonight, and I know you're all home folk, and or not necessarily home folk, but you're here because you're into the Bible publishing, but if you're in a situation where you don't know the Lord, you need to meet him and allow him to change your life. Everyone's hands was going up because it's a witness. It's exciting to know what God's going to do in our lives through the word and what he's been doing, what he's going to do through these Bibles as we publish them. And man, thanks for bringing the word, brother, and really challenging us. We are priests and kings, and we need to go about the business of assembling the body, or the Bible, I should say, rather, in that fashion with pure hands. And we can't do that ourselves, as we heard, right? God is the one who does that for us. And we get saved by grace and we serve by grace. And we got to be cognizant of the way we get purified, as even as we're pure, is through the Word of God. And be ready for that judgment seat of Christ, which is coming any day, any moment. We'll be caught away. So thank you for the urgency of the hour, too. It's so important to remember the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ in our practical sanctification. So a lot of great things in that message to take home and to utilize. But before we transition back to work, we have an order of business. I want to invite Bob Hall up. Bob's going to come and We're gonna do something that some of you guys have already seen this, and I'm sorry, we got a smudge on this thing here. I gotta get that off there. Pastor Brad doesn't know about this, I don't think. But I'd like to have Pastor Brad and Mike Shore come up, and we talked earlier about and Liz. Let's bring Liz up too. Yeah, bring Liz up. Yeah, Liz, you gotta come up here too. You're not gonna be teaching or preaching, so it's okay. You're safe. But we were talking earlier about Philadelphia and partnerships, and the importance of that. And so we wanted to honor you guys. Did you have anything to add, Bob, before we?
Well, I just appreciate both of you. Appreciate both of you, and since you guys put Bibles together like us, we have a bond. And working with you is exciting, and I'm looking forward to continuing that. Mm-hmm. And we're just so appreciative that we have a church like you close to us that is doing what we're doing. And we're glad you're here.
Thank you, man.
All right. So on behalf of Heartland Baptist Fellowship, we're going to present you with this plaque. I'll read it. And, let me jump in here real quick. It's a Philadelphian Ministry Partnership, Strategic Partnership Acknowledgement. So Heartland Baptist Fellowship and the Ministry of Word First Bible Publishing present the Philadelphian Ministry Partnership Award, which we're going to do this every year, to Grace Baptist Church in honor of our strategic ministry partnership in assembling and distributing 64,000 New Testaments for Sierra Leone. And we give thanks and appreciation for your financial, physical, and prayerful support of this project. And at the bottom of this plaque it says, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Psalm 68:11, dated September 17th, 2025. So we appreciate you guys. Yeah, we yeah.
Thank you,
guys. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You can display that up there at Grace Baptist. Yeah, we were all dancing around. We can dance like a bunch of Baptists. So if you want to know what Baptists dance like, we just saw it. It's kind of silly, but anyway. So we appreciate you guys and really appreciate everything that God's doing in all of the ministry. So put that up down there or show it to everybody. Let them know that we appreciate you all, and we really do thank you for that. So, Bob, I'll turn it over to you, and you can get us going to work.
All right. So I just have a few things to say before we kind of get things going tonight. I don't know if you guys are pumped up, but I am. And so, you know, a lot of times my wife and I will leave here and it's going to be late. We get home late. And people are like, my goodness, how in the world do you do that? Well, let me just tell you, even when I get home at 1 o'clock, I still can't sleep for an hour because I'm so wound up. And so many of you are the same way. But I just want to reflect a little bit on where we're at. In fact, I'm going to have Kaylee throw that number up on the board. So current New Testament and Bibles assembled as of right now are 6,200 that we've done in just the last few days. And that is 5,000 New Testaments and 1,200 whole Bibles on Longo. We still have about 3 pallets of a Longo out there right now to bind and to trim. The rest of them over here in our E-Wing that being checked. And I don't think it's going to take long to check them and get them back out here. And so we're doing well. And the thing is, we know we've got a little more work to go. And yet we have work tonight. And I want to thank everybody that's been coming every day and helping, and it's a lot of work to do this. You know, sometimes we have a lot of people ask us, why do you do that? Sometimes I ask myself that, and I'm sure you do. And so, but we got a really good church that wants to get the Word of God out, so I want to thank a few people tonight before tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, after tonight, we get a few things done. Tomorrow, we're going to hear a good message. And we're going to go out to the armory like we did last year, and we're going to pray over the Bibles that we've done. We're also going to look at those 64, did you hear me right? 64,000, we have different words, but 64,000 New Testaments that we've done. At first I think we're only going to have in the 50s, and I'm like, well, maybe 60. And it was just kind of like the fishes and the loaves, it just kept coming. And so we did get 64,000 New Testaments going to Sierra Leone, which you saw Mike Pepper. Okay. When I talked to Mike Pepper just this week, he told me, he goes, now tell the church we have 94 pastors in training in their training school. And they have started 23 churches across the city of Freetown, Sierra Leone. And that's primarily who will get those New Testaments, because even though their pastors may have a Bible that we supplied to them that you saw on the screen, those New Testaments that we're putting out are going to go to those new churches, to their people, because they don't have a Bible. And so we're going to help provide those 23 churches with their people a New Testament, as well as kids that the government is allowing to come to their church camps to hear the Word of God. Now imagine, think about that. A Muslim country sending their kids to a Christian camp where they get the Word of God. That's what we are involved in. And so give God the glory for that, because he gives us the chance to do that. And so I want to also just reflect a little bit about this week. Now, some of you guys know all the things that go on. Mike Shore talked a little bit about just getting the scriptures here. And that was a struggle. Everything seems to be a struggle when we're working on the Word of God. And so we have a really good church that gets involved behind us, all you. We have a really good Bible team. And I want to thank you all, because you've worked hard for 6 months to get these Bibles that we have out and back. And when, tomorrow when we walk through that armor, you'll see both sides of our metal bay, and you'll see 17 pallets of Bibles going out, New Testaments going out, and they're taller than me. Now, you may say that's not that tall, but come out tomorrow and check that out, okay? But, you know, it is a struggle, because, you know, we fight not with flesh and blood. And so this week we've had all kinds of things happening, and I think God's working on me, because I'm usually pretty wound up guy, but I'm like, I got to chill out, because I just got to go with what happens. And so we've had machines breaking down every day. Yesterday, things were going great. No breakdowns. Things are flying along. The sun's out. Electricity went off for an hour. And people would come to me and they'd go, Bob, what's going on? Why are we out of power? And I go, we're making Bibles. That's just what happens. And so when we're putting God's word out, we have an enemy that doesn't want us to do that. And so that just happened. So, and I think actually the Bible team this year really saw that firsthand, because a few of them came and asked me, and they're like, you know, we know we're in a battle, but man, we see it. And I'm like, yes, we're fighting a real battle. We are all fighting a real battle. So we've had a lot of people helping to put this Bible assembly together, this Bible conference. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the people in the kitchen, Dave Branham and all your group. I want to thank the group that put the tent up, the people that's been working every day to help get these Bibles out. There's a lot of work involved in it, but it's going to be worth it. So thank you for all that. The Bible team that's been helping hours and hours. My wife works hours and hours, so I thank her. So after I get done here in just a minute, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get back to work a little bit. What we primarily need to do is finish up the checking, get it out on the pallet out in front. We'll get the front cleaned up. We're going to try to get everything on the E-wing over here put back together for tomorrow, which we should, and get everything in the church cleaned up. We're going to leave everything in the armory there. We'll finish that in a couple days ahead coming up. And then tomorrow we're going to come to church. You're going to hear a good message. No ABF tomorrow. You get to sleep in. You get to sleep in and come in the main service. And then we're here a good message, and we're going to go out to the armory, and we're going to pray over all the Bibles and the scriptures that we've done. And then after that, we're going to go out and tear the tent down and take the tables and chairs up. So we're going to need some help doing that tomorrow after service. But that's tomorrow. Tonight, we got to get everything in here cleaned up. And so I think that's everything I wanted to say. But thank you all for making this conference a success. And we're not done yet, but I'm just trying to thank everybody that's been here. We've seen the last three nights how God has preserved His Word to us. And we saw tonight pure words, how we need to be pure. We need to put Christ in us, and it's only through His Word. And so I got to stop talking. I'll start wound up here. But just sharing, quite simply, what are we doing? God has given each one of us a Bible, and we're making sure someone else has one. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. So let's pray, and then we'll get everything cleaned up. Dave's going to need some help in the kitchen. I promised him we'd get some people in there to help him get everything wrapped up. And we're going to get you some help in there, because you deserve it. You need some help. Because he's worn out. You just look at him. He's about ready to pass out right now. But we'll get you some help, and we're going to get this church back in order, ready for tomorrow. And get home, get a good night's sleep, and we'll get back in the morning. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go from there. Father in heaven, we just come before you today. Lord, we thank you for just this week. We thank you for Jim Alter being here and showing us, you know, how we got our Bible, where it's come from, and answering questions, and all the exhibits and the Bibles that he has. We've heard a really good message tonight about how God's Word is pure and that we need to live it in our life. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the people that are here. And Lord, I just pray that we would just take your Word, live it in our life, give it out to other people, Lord, and they would see Christ in us. Give us a good night to get things cleaned up. Help us to get a good night's sleep and back tomorrow. And we will give you all the honor